Amen. Great song, isn't it? Anchor holds, because you know you're going to go through storms, and if the anchor doesn't hold, then what the use is Christianity anyways? What's the point? You might as well just join a club someplace and just use their, we're going to support you, and we're going to, you know, we're all going to just be nice and be friendly and help each other and try and get through this. Whatever. Whatever. Get a real God. Get a real God. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful we can come here tonight, Lord, and Father, just to see people here who hunger and thirst for you, it just encourages me so much, Lord, and it's the very word being manifest, Father, that we all long to see and long to hear, Father. So won't you come, Lord, tonight and just have your way among us again like you promised to do, Father. We're here hungering for you, Father. Just satisfy us again, Lord. Feed us, Lord, on your flesh and your blood, Lord, so we can be strong in you. We ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. Now, let me just say something what I said. Because, see, I said, well, we're not going to support. Let me tell you what. You know where we get support? We get it from each other. But it's the God in each other. It's not just some emotional, well, we're all buddies, aren't we? No, we see Christ manifest. That's where we get this. If you turn to Romans 16, we're going to start there. No, we're not. I'm sorry. No, we'll go to Revelation 3. We're going to start there. Then we're going to go to Romans. But I just want to set this up again that we're still talking about this this thought I had of the uncomfortable Christ. So Romans 3 and verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. You may be seated. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now, cut some of the reading out because we know where we're coming from. We know it's Laodicean age, and God is trying to get his bride to repent. He's trying to get us to be zealous with being able to say, I'm wrong, my religion is wrong, let me lay that aside and let me have the real thing, because the message is here to keep it pure and straight, and if we don't take the message, we are going to get mixed up. And it's got to be preached, folks, by a Holy Ghost-filled ministry, otherwise we're going to get it mixed up. So last Sunday we looked at Jesus speaking and the ministry of Jesus Christ and how it tore people up, even those who claimed to be believers. They were so tore up, they got to a point where they picked up stones to throw him, to kill him, because they were like, this is not the kind of Messiah we want. This is not the kind of ministry we want. You're making us upset. We don't understand half the things you're saying. We don't like this. And you claiming all this stuff, you're making yourself some kind of a god or something. This is what the believers were thinking and doing. This is the effect that the ministry of Christ has. And those disciples, the 12 were standing there, they're thinking, what's he talking about, Peter? I don't know. What do you think he's talking about? I don't know. What does he mean we're going to eat his flesh? I ain't going to eat his flesh. Well, he said we got to. Well, I guess we will. What does he mean? I don't know, John. What do you want to do? We're going to stand here until he tells us. We're going to stick around because there's nowhere else to go. Where else are you going to go? Something struck me today when I was thinking about this, and I just find this amazing. Here was Jesus Christ, the very God in flesh. He was a man there manifesting the fullness of the Godhead through him. No sin. No sin. And yet, look how he reacted to those people. He reacted the same way you and I react to people, with our emotions when they're under control. Look what he's saying. He said, oh, does that offend you? Well, let me tell you something else. Oh, you don't like this? You're your father, the devil? If I was like you, I'd be a liar like you are. This was the emotion, the reaction of God in flesh. And the first thought I kept, my, look how human he was. But then you know what else I thought? Look how godly we are. He made us in his image, and we experience the same feelings and thoughts and emotions that God does. He made us that close to him. The problem is, of course, we're in fallen flesh, and sometimes those emotions control us in a way that we shouldn't have them control us, and then we make mistakes. But brother and sister, emotions are not bad. They're good. This is how we contact. This is where we feel. This is the things. It's something to be enjoyed. As long as you keep them under control. You don't keep them under control, then you act like the devil. If you turn to Romans 16, we're going to start there tonight. So Sunday we spoke, we read how Jesus spoke, how he preached, how he made people, how they reacted to his ministry that made him uncomfortable. Tonight we want to look at some of the things Paul preached. We all believe that Paul's ministry was the ministry of Jesus Christ, right? Jesus left the body and he came back in the form of the Holy Spirit, and he was ministering through the bride, the ministers that day, and Paul was the messenger that day. And so we believe that there's a ministry of Jesus Christ continuing on in Paul. And Brother Branham said, I preach what Paul preached. The ministry today can say, I preach what Brother Branham preached. If it's the ministry of Jesus Christ, it has to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. So let's look what Paul preached and see some of the things he said and see if we would like him to be our pastor. Romans 16:17. Now I beseech you, brethren, beseech you, say, I'm earnestly begging you, like, please do this. This is important. This is not a suggestion. I'm beseeching you. You need to do this. He said, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. And avoid them. Wait a minute, Brother Phil. Now, wait, you just started off really uncomfortable here because I have family like this. Tell me who doesn't in here. Now, before we get a little crazy here, let's look what he's talking about. He is not talking about people who are not believers. He's talking about people who claim to be believers. And they're still causing divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. So according to Paul's doctrine, if we have a brother or sister coming in here causing division, we should avoid them. How comfortable is that? Well, what do you mean avoid them? Let me see. Avoid means stay away from them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. They're just serving their own desires, their own self. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. You know what kind of good words and fair speeches they use? Can you believe how Brother Phil preached? Well, I don't think Brother Jerry should be doing that anyways. And by the way, where is he? That's what it is. Division. Causing division. Offense is contrary to the doctrine. Isn't that something? But verse 19, he says, for your obedience has come abroad unto all men. Oh! Could he say that about Dixon, Tennessee? That everyone around the message knows about Dixon, Tennessee, how godly they are, how obedient they are, how they stay with the Word, how it's a powerhouse of the Holy Spirit. Could they say that? Is that the reputation we have? And if not, why? If not, shame on us. Should I tell you the reputation we have around a lot of people? They think we're crazy. I'm fine with that. I ain't talking about that. You know what else they have a reputation? We have go through the most trials and the hardest times of anybody you ever seen. Well, that can be good and it can be bad. Because you know why sometimes we go through those trials? Because of our disobedience. We won't follow the Word. So God keeps coming and getting us harder and harder and harder. Because He said, I am going to break that spirit. But Paul said, your obedience has come abroad unto all men. Everyone knows about these Romans, how they were such godly people. How they were zealous for the Word. There's a church in Ohio that has that reputation. They have different kind of services than we do too sometimes. Because they got rid of some of these spirits. If you turn to me, we'll turn to 1 Corinthians 4. Brother Branham called Corinthians, Book of Corrections, I believe he's the one who said it. Paul is always having to correct these Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 4:18. Now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you. See, when the mouse is away, the cat's away, the mice will play, right? That's the same thing, what he's talking about right here. Well, Paul, he's clear across in Thrace, or he's in Spain or something. So, you know what? When he's gone, I'm going to tell you what. I think we should run the church this way. We should do this, or we should do that. Uh-huh. That spirit ain't dead. He said, but I will come to you shortly. They said, what? He's come? Oh boy. He said, if the Lord will, and I will know not the speech of them that are puffed up, but the power. Why? For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. So he had, all these people are complaining about Paul and the way he's doing this and the way he's running the church. And you don't need to do it this way. And I think you should do it this way. And I believe it this way. And I believe the doctrine this way. He said, I'm going to come to you, the Lord willing. And all you people who are having problems with the way I'm running the church, you're going to stand there and I'm going to stand there. And we're going to let God decide who's right. If you have the gall to sit there and complain about the way God is running this church, stand up and let the power of God in your life vindicate you, or shut up. That's what Paul's doctrine was. You want to complain about how Brother Jerry does something? Let me see the power of God in your life justifying what you're saying, and I will go along with you. Run your mouth, you're going to murmur against this and murmur against that and have a problem with that and have a problem with this and I don't like this and I don't like that. Let me see God in your life. Let me see what he's doing in your life. Let me see his power in your life. Kingdom of God is not in word but in power. Well, Brother Phil, I think it's okay to talk about things. It's okay to talk about things. What's the effect of what you're saying? Why are you talking about things? Is it edifying? Verse 21, he said, what will ye? Shall I come to you with a rod or in love and the spirit of meekness? If you notice around here, it's usually the rod. Why? Because as long as Johnny doesn't learn, Daddy keeps bringing the rod. That's all it is. Until he says, I'm sorry, you're not my son anymore. Get out. I'm still glad he's still bringing the rod, brother and sister, because that means there's still children here. Let's keep going on to Corinthians 5. He said, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. And such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. Even the Gentiles, even the heathens, even the denominations, even they don't do this. And here we're sitting in the church, and we're doing this kind of thing. And I have seen that here in this church in Dixon, where you say, what are you doing? Even a decent people out there in the world don't do this kind of stuff. And then as soon as Brother Jerry starts getting rid of it, people have hissy fits. Oh, I don't think you should do it that way. My. He said, you are puffed up. Have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. Taken away, Will? I don't want him taken away. It's my kid. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that done this deed in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Yeah, we've had that happen several times here. And every time Brother Jerry has followed the scripture, he's met resistance. Why? And you know who was resisting? The people's families. Because they love their family more than they love the word of God, which means they don't even love Jesus. Don't sit there and tell me you love Jesus. Don't know him. Because he was following the word. The This is Paul's doctrine, folks. This ain't Brother Jerry or Brother Phil's doctrine. This is the doctrine of Jesus Christ as preached by Paul. And Brother Branham said, I preached the same thing, and he was 100% behind this. So what's the problem? Your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? What's he saying? You allow one little spirit in here, and you don't take care of that thing and call it out and drive it from it, it will start going from one person to another, and pretty soon you have a whole church full of that nasty spirit. Well, I'm not going to say anything because I might hurt Will's feelings. Now, Will needs to stop doing this, but I'm not going to say, I don't want to hurt his feelings. Next you know, that spirit jumps over on Todd and then it jumps on Jimmy. And pretty soon this whole side of the church is like, we got this spirit just running rampant over here. And you think it's going to stay on that side of the aisle? No, pretty soon it's over here. And let me tell you how this usually goes. It usually goes from great-granddaddy to granddaddy to daddy to son. And it's passed down from generation to generation. These spirits that we call, oh, these are traits of our family. Yes, it is, because you pass that spirit down, that evil thing, from one generation to the next. And leaven's the whole family. That's why the Holy Spirit comes up and says, we are not fighting against flesh and blood. We're not fighting against you and you and you. We're fighting against the spirit that you still love and you won't let go. We're going to get rid of that thing. That's what it means, a little leaven, leaven the whole lump. You let a little something in here, and pretty soon it's gone through the whole church. When someone comes up to you and say, you know something, Brother Jimmy, you know, let me just tell you something that Brother Gene did. I got to tell you this, man. You're going to blow your mind. I'll tell you something. And Brother Jimmy's a gentleman. You know what he's going to say? Brother Phil, I don't want to hear it. But now everyone's not going to do that. They go, well, what did he do? You kidding? He did that? Brother Paul, let me tell you something. It's going to blow your mind. Brother Gene this thing is messing up. Maybe it's a little battery. Would that do it? Can you just switch me back to here? All right, let's keep going.
Verse 9. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators.
Still doing it, ain't it? The speaker.
He said, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then you must ye needs go out of the world. He said, I'm not talking about the people out there that in the world, you can't leave, you can't not, what's the word he used? Company with them, because if you're going to your job, or you're going to wherever, they're going to be around. He said, But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner with such as one know not to eat. It's the ones who call themselves brothers that come to church, that sit here with us, and if they're the railers and the extortioners and the covetous and idolaters, the fornicators, there you should not company with them. You shall stand aside and say, listen, brother, I am not going to eat with you. I'm not going to hang out with you because you're a division. You're a cause of division in this church. Well, Brother Phil, I think that's called some division. Okay, then disagree with Paul one day. When you get a chance, talk to Paul about it. It'll be at the judgment day. This is what Paul said. But Brother Phil, that's my family. For what do I have to do to judge them that are all without? Do not we judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judges. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. We like to skip over these things. We like to like, well, that was for Brother Paul. That was back in the Corinthians. That was it. No, that's for today, folks. People who call it division, what contrary to the doctrine, they're all these, whatever, what the list of things he just said. So let's turn to 2 Corinthians 7. Let's keep going. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 2. Receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. What's he saying? He said, receive the ministry. As long as it's right, if it's the right ministry, we have done no wrong. We haven't done wrong to you. We haven't defrauded you. We haven't taken your money just to make ourselves rich. We have defrauded a man. I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that ye are in our hearts to die and live with you. It's not Paul saying, he said, I don't do this just to bring a riot. He said, we love you. We want to live and die with you. This is about you. It's about Christ. It's your soul. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Glad it says that. Because when you're up here under the anointing, you feel that boldness to speak these things, to say these things that you would not say without the Holy Spirit doing it. He said, great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. Listen to what he's saying. Here he's saying all this stuff. He's bringing the robin. He said, you are making me such, I have such joy. I have such comfort in my tribulation. Why? For when we come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side, without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God, that comforteth us, as those that are cast down, comforteth us by the coming of Titus. So they were all having these problems, and Titus showed up. He said, wait a minute, before you get all tore up, let me tell you something. Let me tell you what's going on in Corinth. Not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you. When he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind towards me, so that I rejoice the more. He said, hey, Paul, you know, you've been sending those letters to Corinth. You've been chastening them. Let me tell you what. They are eating up. They're accepting it. They love you. They just can't wait for you to come and see them again because they recognize Christ is being formed in them. That is what gives a minister comfort. Supposed to. To see people accepting it. And I, like I said Sunday, I am so glad that I can stand here and preach these things to people who accept it. I am so glad that I can see Christ being formed in people by the ministering of the word. Then let Satan say what he wants. Let someone else criticize. Let someone say whatever they want. I have great comfort seeing Christ being formed by the ministry. That makes it worthwhile. Let me tell you something. If I came up and preached these things and everyone was just like, bah, I don't want to hear it, and everyone just walks out, it would make me so discouraging. I'd say, God, why is going on? He said, just shut up and preach. But it's not that way. I see people who their lives are being changed. You can hear when they talk. You can watch their life. You can see how they're accepting, how they're growing in Christ. And it's like, yes! Yes! It's a great comfort. Verse 8 says, for though I made you sorry with the letter, I do not repent, though I did repent. He said, I do not repent. I did. He said, I was sorry. I didn't know. I was so sorry. I wrote that letter. I said, man, maybe I was too hard. Maybe I shouldn't appreciate that way. Oh, like, I know they're going to tear him up. I just wish it didn't have to be so hard. He said, I don't repent. Why? For I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, but for a season. Now that epistle came in that hard preaching, and it made him sorry, and they're all tore up. But he said, only for a season. Why? Now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. Oh, I like this. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. So he said, what happened is I wrote this letter, and I knew it was a rough one, and I wish I hadn't sent it after I sent it. And I was just like repenting, oh, I don't know if I should have sent that. And then he found out, yeah, but Paul, Titus said, Paul, they received it, and they repented, and they were sorrowful, and it was a godly sorrow to repentance, and now they're going on. They accepted it the way it was supposed to be, as if from the word of God. He said, for behold, this selfsame thing that you sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what clearing of yourself, what indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what revenge. In all things you have approved yourself to be clear in this matter. He said, I wrote to you and I told you what you were doing wrong. And you accepted it, and you took the word, and you cleared yourself, and you walked in the word, and you let God change you, and you laid aside your idols, you laid aside this and that and all your religion and everything, and you walked in the epistle I sent to you. You cleared yourself in this matter. That spirit was driven out. He said, wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did it not for his cause that had done the wrong, nor for his cause that had suffered wrong. Listen to what Paul is saying. He said, I wrote that and I told you this was wrong and you need to fix it. It wasn't for that person who's doing it. It wasn't for their benefit, the most thing. And it wasn't because he had defrauded someone else for their benefit. But listen, he said, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you. You know what he did? He did this. He brought the rod of corrections and he recognized the care that God had for that church, for that individual, for each person there. It was because the word comes and God speaks it and God chastens them. And that shows that that's the love of God to you when he chastens you. You know that it was care, that Paul cared for them. Paul wasn't after their money. Paul wasn't after their women. Paul wasn't after popularity. He would not have said that. If I was after your money, brother and sister, I would not preach the things I preach. By the way, I don't get paid at all, so you can't accuse me of that. So I do not preach this for popularity, obviously. I'm up here preaching. Why? Because so God can show that he cares for you. Say that again. He can show he cares for you, and you don't even care enough to come to church. My. Because it's uncomfortable. What an insult to Jesus Christ. It's Thursday night. I don't go on Thursday night. You. Therefore, we were comforted in your comfort. Isn't that something? It's a body. We edify each other. When you're comforted, it comforts the ministry and vice versa. And we comfort each other. We're comforted in your comfort. Yea, exceeding the more joy we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. So where does a minister get his spirit refreshed? Where does he get his comfort, brother and sister? It's from the people he's preaching to. It's from the flock. It's God in you comforting him. If they're not getting it from you, where is he supposed to get it? No wonder preachers have such a high suicide rate. Preachers have such a high mental breakdown rate. In the denomination world, preachers are just leaving, the pastor leaving by droves across the United States because it's such a stressful job because they are not receiving comfort from the people. All they receive is resistance. In my opinion, it's amazing Brother Jerry kept his mind as much as he has in the last 18 years. He should be totally insane going through the stuff he's going through here. He's not. He's a sound mind. Second Corinthians 12. Behold, the third time, I'm sorry, 14, 12 and 14. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you. I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. I'm not compulsive. I'm not coming for money. I'm not coming to get something from you. I want your soul. I'm not coming to build a kingdom. I'm not coming to get rich. I'm not coming to have a big church. I want you. I want your soul saved. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. The more a preacher preaches, and the more straight he gets, and the more truth he brings, the less he is loved. But be it so. He said, oh, that's all right. Be it so. I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. Did I make a gain of you by any of that whom I sent unto you? Did any of the ministry I sent you to, did they make a gain of you? Did they accept money? Did they get rich on you? I desired Titus, and with him I said, a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walked we not in the same spirit? Walked we not in the same steps? Was it not the same ministry? Again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you, we speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. For I fear, lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found among you such as you would not. Lest there be debates, envyings, wrath, strife, backbiting, whispering, swelling, tumults. Unless when I come again, my God will humble me among you. That I shall bewail many which have sinned already, have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. What if Paul came here tonight? He said, you only have about 12 people in your church. Well, no, we have about 30, Brother Paul, but most of them don't come on Thursday nights because they're too busy. I'm not talking about the people who have an excuse not to be legitimate. If you're sick or it's whatever, something like that, totally understand. If you have to work, totally understand. He said, well, are there debates, envyings, wrath? Yeah, Brother Paul, don't preach it too hard. There'll be some wrath. Strife, backbiting, whisperings, swellings, tumults. He said, my God will humble me among you. If I was to stand here and he looked at me like, you're a message preacher and this is what you got? Humble me. That is why the preaching is not going to get easier. It's going to get harder, brother and sister. Because there's still too much of this going on. There are still debates, envyings, wrath, strife, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, and tumults. Second Corinthians 13:1. This is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you as if I were present the second time, and being absent, now I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all other, that if I come again, I will not spare. Verse 10. Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness, according to the power which the Lord had given to me to edification and not to destruction. Now, this is just Phil speaking. What if Brother Branham had sent us that letter? He said, I'm coming back to Dixon. And I hope I don't have to come using sharpness. I hope I can come in meekness. I hope I don't have to come and just lay it on to you again and be harsh. But I hear what's going on in Dixon, and I'm on my way back down there to see what's going on. And we would say, oh, no, the prophet's coming. Oh, my goodness, Brother Branham's going to come. He's going to know what I'm doing. You know what we'd be doing? We'd be repenting all over ourselves. And if it's the same thing isn't the way it is now, who's not recognizing the voice of God speaking then? Who's recognizing the ministry of Jesus Christ? Galatians 4. Yeah, one more scripture to read. We'll let you go home. 4:8. Here's Paul, and he's chewing out the Galatians. He said, "Howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. You are serving spirits. You're serving idols. You're serving yourself. You didn't know God. You were just all about yourself. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain." He said, "I came and preached, and the word set you free. Why do you go back to the same old thing? You come here on Sunday and the word sets you free. And brother and sister, I can look at your face and I can tell people are being set free. And I can see the difference. And your manner is different. And afterwards, you can come in and you're all down or whatever. You walk out of here and you're happy and you're free. And by the time you go home, you're ready to return to those weak and beggarly elements of that spirit you love so much." You know what's really sad? Most of the people I'm talking to, you don't do this. This isn't even for you. Isn't that amazing? He said, "Then why did God give this to you to preach? Because it's going to be preached on one day." God have mercy. They're responsible for what was said. You call yourself a message believer, a Christian. God gives the word. You're responsible for it. That's what he said. Brother Bram said in the Bible. He said, you call yourself a Christian. God holds you responsible. He gives you the word. He said, "It's better be not call yourself a Christian than to be called one, just be a lukewarm one. Like a dog back to its vomit." And yet that's what happens here sometimes on a weekly basis. People come in here and they accept the word. They hear the word and it makes a difference. And they tell me, they shake my hand and say, "Brother Phil, that was really good. I really need to thank you for saying that." And by Monday, they're right back into the same old slop. Why? We're going to find out Sunday why. You can go ahead and show up Sunday and answer that question. Love it. That's the short answer. He said, "I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain." He said, "Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. You have not injured me at all. You haven't hurt me. You haven't injured me. My temptation, which is in my flesh, you despise not, nor reject it, but receive me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus." Where is the blessedness we used to hear? We got a Holy Ghost filled pastor here in Dixon. I remember someone started a website years ago. Boy, we have a Holy Ghost filled pastor. You need to come to church here. God's doing mighty things. What did it last? A year and a half before he was no longer Holy Ghost filled? That Holy Ghost, God led me here, but I tell you what. The way he's preaching, I don't know if God made a mistake or not getting me to come here. You know, if I wasn't talking about eternal life and eternal death, this would be hilarious. We would call this the idiot show. Oh, today you heard the voice of God here. Today the voice of God changed his mind. When therein is the blessedness? He said, "Where is then the blessedness you spake of? For I bear record of you, that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes, had given them to me." I love you, Brother Paul. Preach to us, Brother Paul. You brought us to Christ, Brother Paul. You're a wonderful person, Brother Paul. Hallelujah. I got to stop doing what? I had to die to what idol? I had to give up what religion? I had to quit hanging around with who? Mark them and avoid them. Brother Paul, that's my best friend. Then he says something that just gets me to the core. He said, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? We had a man here, out of his own mouth, he said, I have nothing against what you preach, Brother Jerry. I just don't like the way you run the church. So I haven't lied to you. No, I don't like the way you run the church. But you're preaching the truth. So what was more important to that gentleman? The truth or the church? He was happy with the comfortable place to go to church. And when it was no longer comfortable, he couldn't sit around because he was going to have a comfortable place to go to church or he wasn't going. That's a horrible, horrible, horrible place to be. A horrible mindset. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? It hurts your feelings. Sometimes it tears you up. Does that make me your enemy? He chastens those that he loves. Oh, if that would ever sink someplace between here, down into here, it would change so many attitudes around here. If it would drop down through that aisle that's sitting right there called yourself. That old self. Who doesn't like to be chastened, doesn't like to be uncomfortable, doesn't like to be embarrassed, doesn't like to be humiliated, then die to the thing and you don't have to worry about it. Because God chastens those he loves. He said, they zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that you might affect them. You know what they want to do is they want to get you separate so we can talk about something and I'm going to affect you, you're going to affect me, and we're going to have comfort in each other's affections. Well, I know Brother Jerry said we shouldn't hang out with that person, but you know what? I don't see anything wrong with it. I don't see anything wrong with it. I'm going to do it. We're going to talk about obedience and sacrifice Sunday. Lord willing. It's a scary place to be when you're not walking in obedience. He said, it's good to be zealously affected, always in a good thing, not only when I am present with you. There we are again. When I'm present with you, when I'm preaching, everyone sits there and they're all like, yes, Brother Phil, that's right, Brother Phil. But as soon as we walk out, what happens? Back to the old beggarly elements that you've served your whole life, that got passed down through the generations in your families. He said, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. He said, I tried before. I thought you were born again, but now I don't know. I am travailing to bring you to your birth again because I don't know what's going on. I have doubt. I've seen God do things in your life, but look at what you're doing. I have doubt of you. You're walking in things you shouldn't do. You're resisting. You're murmuring. You're backbiting. You're doing all these things. What happened? You did walk well. What has interfered? You were going forward. What has stopped you? I saw God work in your life. I saw God doing things. I saw him speak through you. I saw the faith of God in your life. I saw it. What happened? Did you turn back to the Beverly Elmas because you just could not quite get to that last place, that last idol? You just couldn't let him go. Now I stand in doubt. What happened? What happened? That's Brother Paul preaching. So far, we don't want Jesus to be our pastor. We don't want Brother Paul to be our pastor. Now, I could bring what Brother Branham said, and we could spend a long time preaching how he made people uncomfortable. I don't think we're going to. That's not the way I'm feeling led right now. But let me tell you something. You go to the message, and you take everything he said against the Pentecostals and against the denominations, and you put Message Believer there, and you see how uncomfortable people get. Recognize that that message was to the Message Believers, not to those denominations. They were just the ones he was preaching to at the time. That was the furthest that God had gone, but it was to leave that behind and take us forward. And he said, now don't fall into the same traps the denominations fell into. But we did. I think I mentioned Sunday how I was listening to him. I don't know if it did anyway. I was listening to him a message Brother Branham was preaching, and it was a camp meeting in Arkansas. He got up there, and he was saying, oh, it's such a lovely place, and it's so good to come together and just lay aside our differences, and we can just be one. And I thought, wow, Brother Branham, you sure make it sound good. You should have heard what he was saying by the time he got done with that message. Tell you what, he ripped them and tore them to pieces. Why? Because he hated them. He hated their guts. No, he didn't. It's because he loved them. It was the love of God compelling him to say those things. So why is he their enemy? Because he told them the truth. How many of them walked out of there and say, I'm never going to listen to that again? You know what? They didn't say it right away because they still felt the influence of the Holy Spirit. A week later, they said, you know what? I really don't want to listen to that anymore. It's just uncomfortable. Who does he think he is anyways? Yeah, the devil knows how to duck down and hide a little bit. He sees that the preaching of the word comes, and this is how he does it. He's like, and a couple hours later, here he comes back up. Remember me? I'm still here, buddy. That's the way it is. He knows when to duck and hide. He knows when to duck and cover. He knows where to get out of the way. Let the word comes, and people let it through their certain place in the spirit realm, and it's like, Brother Phil, that was so good. I'm so sorry. I just need to go on. I need to go on with God. I just pray for me. Pray for me. And they're over here petting the devil the whole time. Just hang on a second. That's what the Galatians were doing. Isn't it amazing? Here's what's the great part. This gives me comfort. Our eyes have been opened so we don't have to fall into that trap. Our eyes have been opened so we can go beyond that. We can see that devil trying to hide there. We can keep pressing on because the word comes, and what we do, what brother and sister, what you and I do, when the word comes and exposes that thing, we repent with godly sorrow. And we get set free. It's a sorrow not to be repented of. When you get to that point, you don't have to go, oh, I'm so sorry, I repented for that. Oh, no, you don't. Pray you've been free. Worldly sorrow, worldly pain, all that. Oh, it's just like, oh, this is miserable. Yeah, you're miserable. I'm miserable. We're miserable. Let's be miserable together. Don't be miserable on your own, because I'm happy. You're all good? I feel comfortable. In the midst of this uncomfortable Christ, he has given me a comfort inside. And this old flesh doesn't like it, but this inside man, he says, this is what I live for. Let's stand. Boy, it's good to be a Christian. My. You can look back at what Paul said back there. Some couple thousand years ago, Paul wrote a letter to the Corinthians, and here we are 2,000 years later, and it's still relevant tonight. Then you want to go and tell me that that's some man's writing or something. It's not the word of God. I'll tell you what, you're an idiot. I'm not talking to you. You guys know it's the truth. This is real. Oh, that's good. Amen. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful you'd come and just comfort us tonight, Lord Jesus, and encourage us by your word. It's not just an emotional thing, but it's something that's anchored deeper than that. It's something that's real. It's something that has changed in us, Lord. And we claim that. We believe it to be true, Lord Jesus. We just want more of that. So, Lord, whatever we're lacking, whatever we have need of, we ask you to come and strengthen that area. Drive back the doubts and fears and frustrations and everything that we go through, Lord Jesus, that you can have your way in our life and we can walk victorious, walk free. Oh, Lord Jesus, just manifest this. This is your promise to us. We're so thankful, Lord Jesus. Bless us as we go from. Keep us safe, Lord. We're tired. Some of us have long drives. Keep us safe, Lord. Watch over us. Lord, bring us all back Sunday and all the ones who couldn't be here tonight, Lord, for whatever reason, bring them all back. Lord, you've already gave me a message to preach on Sunday, which I am so enthused. I'm so looking forward to it. It gives me, Lord, to know that you care so much for us. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Oh, to love you more. In your name I ask this, amen.